Here's an interesting stat. 60% of Uber riders never tip their drivers. That's according to data from 2017, published recently in the National Bureau of Economic Research. Researchers looked at 40 million data points from a few weeks of UberX rides and found drivers were tipped in just 16% of all rides. Men tip more than women, but most of the difference was men giving higher tips to younger women. For more, let's bring in Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does every Monday. Derek, welcome back.
Great to be here.
And, you know, for people who don't know, Uber even has a prompt, a window that comes up and says, here's a picture of your nice driver, or words to that effect. How much do you want to tip them? And it gives you choices. But even with that nudge, they still don't tip. Now, this might tell us about tipping in the gig economy. You say it's about something bigger in the U.S. economy?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting little microcosm of Americans' relationship with tipping altogether. So I think that most of us think about tipping as a way to encourage good service. And to prove that tipping in this case works, you would have to show that higher tips are correlated with better service. Mm-hmm. But what this paper seemed to explain in a very clear way is that most tipping has absolutely nothing to do with the qualities of the service. It has way more to do with the qualities of the server and the served. So most tips have nothing to do with the driver. Men tip more than women, mostly because they tend to tip younger women. Tips are higher early in the morning and later at night. The gender of the riders makes a huge difference. How long the trip is makes a huge difference. And only after you take into consideration all these factors that nobody can control does the quality of the trip seem to factor in slightly. So I think in many ways what this study does is provide evidence that our relationship with tips is essentially a fallacy. It's a fallacy that tips are a good way to encourage good service. They're just a reflection of some random forces that people can't control.
Well, you know, Derek, I read this as well, and I took away that I think the fallacy is the assumption that that's why people tip, because I don't tip to try to improve the service. I tip because generally I know whoever I'm tipping is low wage, and I want to make a nice gesture towards them. But if that's why a lot of people are tipping, then they're not doing it, you know, in that case either. Could this have something to do with Uber? Because this was right after tipping was introduced in Uber in 2017. Before that, there wasn't a tip.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. And I think embedded in those questions are two questions that I want to get at really quickly. First, it is, of course, possible that people tip more in Uber than they did in 2017. I would hope that as the country gets richer and richer and as wages continue to grow, that people tip more in general, whether it's the little tip for your coffee person or the tip for the Uber or Lyft driver or the tip for the hotel maid. My hope is that, you know, we help low-income workers earn more. I mean, that's a lot about of what the last segment was about, that there are low-income people working in this country who can't afford to live where they happen to work, and that is a national crisis. But I do think it goes to this larger issue of how do we want to compensate people in this country? If there is an assumption that a good part of a person's salary is expected to be crowdfunded through tips, that means that they rely on the kindness of strangers.
Right.
They rely on the kindnesses of Robins. But the fact is that we are not a nation of Robins. We are rather a nation of Americans where only 1% are tipping consistently in Uber rides.
Right.
And that, I think, should force us to reckon with this entire issue of how do we pay people? Should we pay people through tips, or should we raise wages and say we can't afford to cross our fingers and hope that we'll crowdfund our way to above poverty wages?
Because there you get into the fact that employers might count on that, you know, thinking, well, I'm going to lower the wages because people will make up for it in tips. Some restaurants have been trying to implement no tipping policies, but we spoke with one owner who said going gratuity free backfired because customers didn't want to have their tips made up with a little increase on, you know, items in the menu. They want cheap items on the menu. And yet, you know, what a catch-22 if they're not going to do the tipping.
I get that. And I, you know what? Here, I would say culture is sticky, right? If there is an expectation that prices should be low, but then that you should tip above the low prices, that's a difficult culture to change. And it's difficult to change that culture on a restaurant-by-restaurant basis. If one restaurant essentially says, we're going to raise all of our prices by 18% and let go of tipping, well, then that restaurant just seems 18% more expensive than all the restaurants in the area. I think this is the sort of thing that maybe has to be addressed at a legislative level, whether at the local level, the national level. So one potential metaphor for this is Obamacare, when it was passed, forced qualifying chain restaurants to adopt menu labeling. They essentially said, you all have to put a label on your menu that says how many calories are in this food. Maybe you have a similar sort of national guarantee that qualifying national restaurants have to include tips. They have to raise the prices of everything that they're selling by 18% if it's a sit-down place, so that you're avoiding having to put the expectations on tipping on customers in the first place. In general, I understand why tipping exists. I get that people feel aristocratic when they're being served. They might want to put a little something on top of the tip. But I would just hope that we find ways to pay people more in the first place.
Yeah, this is all food for thought, but people can eat thoughts. So in the meantime, let's tip. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you.
Thank you.